American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, March 30th, 2009. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your Head Space and Timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on any and all of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, dot livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyor Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and in Second Life, Node Archers, grids 15574666. And now, back again this week is my beautiful and talented co-host and 10-year-strong vegan, Cimmerian. You know?
Hello once again. And now you can hear it on iTunes.
Yes!
As well, so you can add that to the list.
All right. Yeah, now, how do you like...
Go into iTunes, click on the store, type in Newsreel, boom, you're there. Subscribe.
Right.
And you can just get it onto your iPod every week.
Well, that's cool. Of course, you know...
And for the people who are saying iTunes sucks, then, you know, don't do that.
You know...
But it's a handy way, so you don't even have to think about it. It appears. It magically appears every week in your inbox.
So, it's a good idea. If you like it. Of course, there's all the people who are, you know, more elite than now. They're like, no, I don't do that because, you know, whatever, you know.
I encode my RSS feeds by text.
Well, there's
in my...
Well, that's why, like, there's a lot of that stuff going on. Like, I thought Facebook was pretty crazy. You know, I thought Facebook was pretty freaking nuts, right?
oh, yeah.
But then...
All those social networks are out of control.
Well, the craziest shit ever... I'm you know, and Baldy was just talking about this, is Twitter. Twitter is the craziest shit ever in the history of the world. That is like, let's see how stupid these people really are. Rather than bugging them, we're going to have them run an online constant confessional of their actions. You know what
I
mean?
I'm going to my car. I'm sitting in my car. I'm turning the car on. I'm driving.
I'm in my car.
Car.
I'm driving. I'm scoping out the president. You know, I went in. Somebody. I've got a funny story.
You know what it is good for? You know what it is good for? It's good for big stars and stuff that you want to, you know, find out what they're doing. Like, I follow the guy from Red Dwarf, the guy who plays Crichton in Red Dwarf, and he talks about the new Red Dwarf that's coming out, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You get the updates.
Do you think?
And but for everyday people, it's like, why do I want to know what you're cooking in the kitchen? Really, on my phone, text to me.
Well, there's people I've discovered. There's these kind of people that are like, they're like internet social scene whores, right? And what they do, is they're always like, you know, they've got the sexy coy pics all over the place, usually professionally done, right? And they're like, hey, you know, you're so great, and it's like, they are the background people. Like, if you could get all of them in a nightclub, you would have, like, all the beautiful people in, like, one place at one point in time. It's like,
that's way too dangerous. I wouldn't want to be there.
It would signal the rise of the Uber Chach, you know, and Uber Chach and Uber Guido would emerge with their blonde-tipped, spiked, gelled hair and their triple-flipped collars with their super leather-tan chests and their amazing bar build, you know, all chest and arms, absolutely no back, ridiculously small back, and permatan, so that they don't look like they're tanned, they look like they're dipped in shoe polish, which is, you know...
The nice orange glow.
Yeah, and some of them are just like, you know, you couldn't cut them with a razor. You know, they got that 40-year-old stripper kind of skin on the go, you know.
Ooh,
and just
leathery.
Yeah, you know, this skin is, you know, natural THACO 4. You know, like, we're talking, you don't need a lot
it's
of...
It's an armored defense,
it
almost,
is,
right?
It is, yeah. It's equivalent to, you know, probably even in some cases, if you know, leather plus plate. There's a lot of that vanity stuff. Have you seen that for men now? They're getting pec... you can get these chiseled pecs installed, like, no shit. So I could go in,
really?
And all of a sudden I've got chiseled pecs. Yeah, like, no lie. And it's like, there's prosthetics like that and cosmetics you can get. And I'm in the stuff that I constantly get every day in my email, which is becoming more and more, you know, appealing all the time. I don't just mean that in the way of prosthetics. I just mean, you know, the whole like, you know, cheekbone jobbies and all that shit, you know, because that's important. Right, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
what matters.
It defines you as a person, really, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure, for sure. And, you know, it's... you know, so, you know, what is important is getting full circle back to the iTunes thing. What is important is that we just keep broadcasting, and we're sorry if, you know, sometimes we get messy with the broadcasting, and sometimes we screw that up. And, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're going to wind up broadcasting, and there's going to be some pretty shitty people that are going to get a hold of our broadcast and throw ads on it. We're trying to stop that, but you really can't any more than you can.
We do the best we can.
We're
right,
doing
you know?
The best we can over here, all right? You know?
As long as we get it out to you one way or the other.
Well, I know it's not state-of-the-art. I know it's not super great. And I'm not begging for a sea of email, because every time I make a statement like this, I get a sea of email. People saying, no, we love you, don't quit! And I'm like, no. Nobody's quitting anything. Are you kidding? I'm psychotic. I can't stop this now. You know, seriously, I'd be like,
it's
I'd be outside,
the,
I'd be yelling
head,
out the
right?
jail window. You know, it'd be brutal. But you know, so just you know, bear with us. Let's get into some feedback. We're getting a lot of feedback, though. This is a good thing. Ever since you came back on the air,
that is a good indicator. That is an excellent indicator of we're doing something right, good or bad feedback. You know?
Yeah, make some noise, right? You know, and it's great. People enjoy it. Plus, it's a different kind of show now. You know, the show's gotten back to more of a news talk show, right? Which is, you know, where I wanted to be. Yeah. That's really where we're both pretty sharp. You know what I mean? It's been a while. When was the last time we were on the air together?
Oh, probably 2005, so maybe 5 years ago, really.
So 5 years ago...
Yeah, because you started this one in 2006, so
right.
2005 was the end of the old show when we used to do it together, so yeah, 5 years ago.
Right.
4 or 5. Yeah.
So, realistically, it's going to take us a couple shows to get our wobble back, and there's guys right now listening to this show, and this show is like one in a 7-hour stretch, and they listen to the last show, and they're thinking, man, you know, I don't like how these shows are going. You know, ever since Sim came back, there's some stuff is changing. I don't know. Okay, well, I'm here to tell
change
you.
Change
you know,
is frightening.
Yeah, in another 4 hours, it'll be okay. You know, seriously. Yeah. You know, give us
hang
another
tight.
Four.
Hang
four,
tight.
We'll get it sorted out. Let's get, like, here's some feedback here. Deshaun! I was wondering, where did you get the term, hit you in the face with a shovel? Where did I get that term? That was from a rant that I did.
Yeah.
About
yeah, just stuck, yeah.
And shovel
well,
combat.
Well, we always liked shovels in movies, I think.
Well, because
really?
It wasn't very common that you smoke somebody with a shovel. I really enjoyed it from Psycho 3, because he asked this old woman. I never knew what movie I was watching. It was just one with Anthony Hopkins, and he serves this old woman a piece of pie, and he spins with this construction shovel. It just fucking drifts her, eh? like bang. It's a horrible thing, but for some reason I thought it really funny. Like, I mean, if you just watch that one segment, you know, where it's Anthony Hopkins, or not Anthony, what the hell's the guy's
Perkins,
name?
Perkins.
Anthony Perkins, right? And he's standing there, and he's like, oh, hi, and he's being all, like, super, you know, Norman. And so he's all, and he serves, sits her down, serves her pie, and he grabs the shovel and just, and beauty shot. Like, beauty fucking, oh, man, you ever try, and we're talking a full-length construction shovel. We're talking 6-foot shovel, okay? Now, think about this now. 6-foot shovel, full arc and spin, complete spin indoors, and fucking drifts her on the back of the head. Like, and she goes, and the ooh. Best part is she just goes, padunk, into face down into the soup like she's a groundhog. It's comedic. You know, it's the best shovel hit I think I've ever seen.
Wonder if it had a good tang to it. Wonder if it had a good
tang. It was triumphant. You know, I mean, it's a Hitchcock film. You know, so if anything's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
That is the shot. And that, when you watch that on your own, shit is that funny. Like, I want to get an animated gif of him, like, turning and just spinning and drifting here with it. Because it's like, you know, I don't know. It'd be one of those awesome little animated gifs I could use.
There you go. There's a challenge. Yeah. Throw that out there.
Oh, and used to it for the shovel kills, like Blade. There was a shovel kill in Blade. It's very, very hard to see, but it's in the end fight sequence. He jumps into some construction gear, and a guy, he grabs a shovel, and he's fighting, and then he breaks the shovel, and he drives the shovel through the guy's chest, which is like, you know, it's the first Blade movie. I mean, it was so incredibly badass, it wasn't funny, you know.
There's a mighty one in Day of the Dead as well, where a guy shoves a shovel right through the
guy's, his face, right, and the whole top of his head is going to come off.
Comes off.
Yeah. It's
brutal.
This is, and funny, a zombie film, I can't remember which one it was. It was the one where they were trapped all in a warehouse, and the barrels with the zombies were in the basement of the warehouse. And at one point in the movie, they nail this zombie's head to the floor with a mining pick. And that's where the term, like, nail your head to the floor, that's where I got that from, is because that scene in that movie is so badass, where he just winds up and drifts the floor, and the zombie, of course, has got the mining pick through the head, and he's like doing the bacon, going nailed to the floor. You know, it's awesome.
Nice.
You know, just it's made of wind. Yeah, but anyway, so hit the face of the shovel. That's where that came from. On the same note, same letter now. Back from the tangent. On the same note, on 24, Jack Bauer, partner, while being interrogated in season 2 between 9 and 10 p.m., was hit in the face with a shovel. Thought you should know that. The set. Well. Obviously, Desette, it needs to be known that I am a huge, huge, screaming, frothing Jack Bauer fan. I am... No, it's embarrassing, really. It's embarrassing, but I'm out of the... I'm out of the closet. No, I am, you know. You know, and people who, you know, get up on me about Jack Bauer and the torture and all that kind of stuff, you know, I just look at them and I say, you know, if Jack Bauer was defending Jesus Christ, there'd be no Christianity as you know it today. You know, that you know, it would be a much... different set of Christianity that you would have to deal with. You know, it's if Server had a son, he'd be protected by Jack Bauer. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it'd be awesome. You know, I'm just pulling that across
by any means necessary.
Oh, it's so over the top. I mean, I never laugh so hard as I do when I'm watching 24. You know, he's just it's sort of like watching Soldier, because like with Kurt Russell, great film. And he's so over-the-top tough in that movie that it's funny. It's, like, ridiculously funny that he's that hard-ass. You know what I mean?
What is this water streaming from my eyes? Yeah, I don't
understand.
Crying?
What is this strange sensation? Like, come on, give me a break, man. You know, somebody somewhere, you
know. It's so funny, that movie. It's so funny. I laugh at it.
It's, the cutting up the vegetables gashes the finger, and he just kind of looks at it and keeps cutting. It's awesome. You know,
blood's everywhere.
Oh, he's uber hard, man. Uber-duber hard. Anyway. More feedback. Hey, Sean and Sim! During the show on the 16th, you guys were talking about wanting to know more about the nonsense going on with food nutrition, and there's this mind-blowing two-hour documentary on the interwebs called Esoteric Agenda. A friend of mine posted on MySpace and hosted by Google Video, I think. But rather than stare at my computer page for 2 hours, it's available in DVD quality via torrent. It addresses the rather scary thing coming called Codex Alimentaris, which sounds an awful lot like a Warhammer 40k Chaos Space Marine squad. Anyway, among other creepy things, the upper level is trying to get rolling and population control, etc. If you haven't seen this, you must. Oh yeah, I was admiring your season 1 episodes of Patrolling Again, mostly from going through withdrawal from the new ones and converting them to MP4 format to watch on my G1, which is a... What is that? What is a G1?
I'm not sure what he's referring to, G1. Might be a phone. The Google phone.
Oh, maybe. Okay. One of the episodes, 7 or 8, you mentioned the movie They Live. Well, I finally rented it through Netflix and saw it. It's very much now one of my favorite movies. Oh, my fucking God. So for something filmed 21 years ago, it couldn't possibly be more akin to how society is today. Well, classic films are like that.
You know, it's amazing. Just kind of ignore the wrestling and everything else is amazing.
Yeah, okay, Jimmy Stewart movies. Jimmy Stewart movies. Every man, woman, and child within the sound of my voice should see the film Harvey. If you have not seen the film Harvey...
I still have not seen it. I'll have to put that on my list.
You suck! Oh, my God. It's cut my guts out right in front of everybody like this, you know?
I'm putting it on my list as we speak.
What kind of a friend am I? Jesus Christ. Really? Maybe we should watch that tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's my pick.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That could be a pick.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm not confirming.
Okay.
My finger's still on the piece. Okay.
Okay.
Also, your patrolling rantmedia.ca redirect doesn't work, so you might want to fix that. Thanks for all you do. Yours in server, Cole Prime. So that's
deprecated. It's rantmedia.ca/patrolling. That one's old. We don't use those anymore.
Okay, enough of that geek speak. All right. Another one. Dear Sean! Now, we were talking about this food thing, right? And I got a lot of feedback about that. Another guy wrote, another fan, same thing, Fat Ninja said, you mentioned you were looking for a certain documentary about about food. Look for one entitled The Future of Food. It talks about this sort of thing in depth, which I think actually was the documentary I was talking about. Thank you very much, Fat Ninja, for responding to that. So it seems like we got those two. So the one is
excellent.
Called, Esoteric.
I got the first one. I acquired the first one already. I think I got CC'd on that email.
Oh, okay. Esoteric Agenda. And the other one is the
Future
of Food. Because those are, in case you want another excuse to buy some more rifles, there you go. You know, because that's what happens, right? I mean,
you watch these movies, they make you paranoid, and you go, oh my God.
Well, you feel really good about your kit purchases, right? I need to have a dune buggy completely kitted out, you know, because look, honey, Road Warrior's on, you know? And, you know, it's kind of like, it's like tactical cosplay, really. You know, really is what it is, you know? I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
It is.
I'm going to get in trouble for that one. But, like a bunch of trannies up there. Do you like my shoes? I just got them online. Got a great price for them,
awesome.
Too. They totally match my jacket. They're both Rhodesian African. Yeah.
Yeah, camo laces. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So good. Made with the paracord, and the interior is a synthetic fiber. Way stronger. And I'd be at the head of the crowd, you know. Head of the crowd with that stuff. It's embarrassing. You know, but
if you're going to do it, to go for it. Just do it hard.
Well, you know, hey, I'm out of the closet. You know, I'm a kit whore, and I'm proud of it. You know, really. Gear dough right here. You know, absolutely. Now, unfortunately, though, things are getting really bad for the gear doughs. Like, there's bad crack addiction. You're a gear dough, too, right? I mean, everybody probably listening to this is a gear dough. You're all hardcore nerds and gear doughs. Okay? Now, Sim, you've got a bad crack habit. You've probably got the worst. Actually, there's only one degree that'd be worse than yours, but and that's you're into film and photography, which is retarded as far as gear and crack goes. Like, lens covers cost $15,000. It's retarded. I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah.
And
any kind of add-ons. You try to take your shit underwater, and it's all over.
Well, that's it. That's the thing, right? Is that's the only level that's higher is if you go into underwater high-speed photography, which is like, who are you? You know, Bill Gates is like, I'm going to have to wait till next month on that one, you know? Like,
tech in general, I love tech. I think both of us love the tech.
I'm getting a little bit of static on your line. Are you running any other apps
check?
No, I'm just getting a bit of a broken feed.
I'm running this white noise static app in the background. Maybe I'll turn that off.
Are you? Okay, don't do that.
Okay. I thought it would enhance it. Yeah.
Are you jiggling the cable? Don't jiggle the cable. Okay, anyway. But back to the kit thing. Now that, you know, Cybernetics is coming out, there's been some sexy kit coming out. Now check this out. In Cyborg News, now this was sent to me by Dark Harmonics. Excited about this. For the next installment of the Terminator franchise, the Hollywood might skip the polymetric liquid alloys, they're so 2003, and turn to the laboratory of Ray Bogman, who has created the next generation muscles from carbon nanotubes. Now I just want to take a moment and mention a new term for the lexicon. Okay, and the lexicon is our particular language, like rocket balls, right? Everybody knows what is rocket balls. We got, you know, rocket balls is very rarely do we get to bring out rocket balls because there's so few things that are, in fact, truly rocket balls. But now there's a new one. When things are, you know, totally vaporware, and they're like, but check it out. And now, you know, the next version is going to be so awesome. When I'm going to call that molar.
We haven't got the 10 virgins back.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's the molar. It's a molar, you know, rather than because the molar sky car, which is always just around the corner, you know, it's
that's,
the molar.
That's the ultimate in vaporware, really.
Oh, it is. Like, and that's why it's not even vaporware. It's like it's you know, instead of it being, you know, the uber awesomeness, and it's always the best, you know, it's always like it's red, it goes fast. It's the molar. You know, it's never going to be here, but boy, is it a cool vision. But anyway, that's what made me think of that. But this guy, this piece of kit, though, this is not the molar. This is something he has, okay? Bogman and his colleagues have produced a formulation that is stronger than steel, as light as air, and more flexible than rubber. A truly 21st century muscle. It could be used to make artificial limbs, smart skins, shape-changing structures, ultra-strong robots, and in the immediate future, high-flying, highly efficient solar cells. We could generate about 30 times the force per unit of area of natural muscle. So it's a synthetic compound that can generate 30 times the strength of natural muscle, okay, in the same space. Said Bogman, director of the Nanotech Institute at the University of Texas at Dallas. Carbon nanotubes have a fascinated material scientists since the early 90s when researchers started to explore the ultralight, ultra-strong cylindrical molecules. Though bulk manufacturing difficulties have slowed the development of commercial applications, carbon nanotubes are already used in bicycle components, in prototypes of airplanes, bulletproof clothing, transistors, and ropes that might someday be used to tether a space elevator, also known as a beanstalk. On a historical note, carbon nanotube-infused steel was used to make Damascus blades, renowned for history's sharpest swords. However, the technique has been lost, which is true. They used to make these amazing Damascus steel swords, and no one knows how they did it. They still don't know how they did it, which is kind of sad. Yeah, if you ever do
lost
research.
Lost tech.
Yeah, it's ancient, like, you know, alien ninja swords. Bogman became interested in first camo tubes when designing artificial muscles for energy-conducting polymers. He figured he could do the job better with linked carbon nanotubes. First, he made a haphazard tangle of fires activated by charging liquids, then he experimented with more strict blah, 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 blah. So, the nanotubes bundles retain their properties at temperatures ranging from minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit of liquid nitrogen to 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the melting point of iron. So, it's indestructible.
Yeah, so when the Terminator sinks into the molten lava, it'll be kind of like bomb.
Yeah, you know, he'll just claw it back out again. This thing here is this is the sexiest piece of kit that I've seen in a really long time. I cannot believe how incredibly awesome that is. I mean, it's almost too good to be true. I'm looking at this and I'm like, let me get this straight. It's
the future.
Yeah, I'm like, but they say he's got it, like. You know, it exists, it's there. So I don't know. Maybe he's got something going on that I don't know. But you know, that's why I'm saying, Sim, have you picked your cyborg body yet?
I'll have to start designing it pretty quick, it seems, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, well, of course we're gonna 80, right? If we make it to 2050, right, we don't have to die. And I think that's...
Is that the turning point where age accelerates?
Yeah,
and
2050.
Catch up to death?
Yeah, provided that we don't all become, blue-glowing azure indigo children at 2012. You know, provided we don't all... you know, the Earth does not awaken and scratch itself and rid it of its plague of humanity, provided that doesn't occur.
Swallow us into its depths.
Well, you know, there's a lot of benefits. That's one of the benefits of the post-apocalyptic future, which we wogs all, you know, secretly giggle and wait for, is the lack of the credit card payment, you know? Because the internet will probably continue to work. So I'm thinking that in the future, the internet will still be working because it's supposed to work after nuclear bombs, right? So it'd just be really funny if you could have, like, FedEx vehicles dropping shit off to, you know, post-apocalyptic camps and stuff because they're still buying it online, you know? That'd be truly hot, actually. It'd be a lot like, you know, some kind of a dream. That'd be like Nirvana. It'd be like a cyberpunk Valhalla, you know, really. That'd be just hot. But, hey, sexy story for the muscle there. Sounds really good. Mm-hmm. Sounds almost too good to be true. I'm like, wow.
Until it hits the market. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's show me the dancing robot. Which, you know, hey, Sarkos was like, do. You know, here's my dancing robot. Which, in which case, you know, all homage be currently to Sarkos, who is mighty, be thy name. because their tech is mighty and not to be trifled with. And also, Lockheed's got that. Have you seen the backpack one? The exoskeleton one, Sim?
Yeah, I did see that one. Is it really the fold-up one that goes in the backpack?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it,
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a sweet piece of kit. It is a sweet piece of kit. So, I mean, you know, it's, I think the Sarcos one is kind of cooler, though, but it still runs around with an extension cord. The other one is completely independent. I think it has about an hour's worth of power. So an hour of power is pretty good. You get yourself a Steadicam mount on there, put the old Modus 50 on it, you know, get some armor on there, and got yourself a walking tank. You know. In server news, now this is getting away from the military applications of really orgasmic kit, we have server news. Intellectual property officials, the Intellectual Property Office, the IPO, has published a draft set of proposals tackling illegal broadband file sharing downloads by persisting infringers. Among those things, the proposals form part of a discussion piece concerning the role of the UK Digital Rights Agency could play. Now, these are all, like, they're starting to give people three strikes, you're out, in France, right, in a couple of UK countries over there. But these readers may recall that the DRA was first proposed to Lord Carter's digital blah, 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 blah. But anyway, what they want to have all these guys do, like what they want to make ISPs do, is they want a commitment to explain to the public consequences of unlawful use of copyrighted material, right? How this is an important task. Facilitation of negotiation, rights clearing and discussion, blah, 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 blah. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it so that there's going to be no more. Now, this is my take on this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sim, but I think pretty quickly we're going to see the end of roaming IPs. I think very soon we are going to see one IP per person, and IPs are going to become a commodity that it'll be like a social insurance number. And once you have an IP, that'll be it. That'll be your IP, and that'll be what that's what we're going to run our phones off of. That's going to be the whole deal, man. Just like I said with Afternow, but that's getting a lot quicker than I thought.
It could be, but I mean, still, even if they do give you your own IP address, there's always tunneling protocols like Tor that you can just jump through somebody else's, and nothing ever appears on your end. It's always somebody else's end that's coming out. Then it goes encrypted to your side.
Right.
So
right.
Even if they go that way, you know, the harder they push, the more it goes underground, and the more it slips out of their fingers.
Well, this
out
is
of
my
their
point.
Control, and the less chance they have of making legitimate money from their own products.
But more than that, though, the more criminals they make too, because like,
oh, well, everybody's a criminal.
That's
a society they're pushing. They're proposing legislation that makes, you know, 80% of their population a criminal. It's like WIMA laws. They can just swoop in and arrest anybody they want on this, and then, you know, find the rest that they need. Oh, you're a copyright thief. We need to confiscate your computer, and then find whatever else they can on their computer, and then prosecute them for that.
And we went and saw Rip last weekend. We went and saw Rip last weekend. That was pretty tight. I mean, it was your pick.
That was amazing.
Good call.
Yeah.
You know, and great film. I enjoyed it. Really good film. The way it was put together was really sharp, super professional. I highly recommend it. There was a link to it on
the direct.
Go ahead.
The director was there, and it was we had the link to it so everybody can go check it out. It's available online, and you can make your own mix of the movie, which is a cool thing.
Yeah,
and they were talking about, you know, mixing and using intellectual property and making it into something new, which is very cool.
Well, what's his face now? Patient Zero over in the UK there. He's done some stuff with my stuff. You know what I mean? And before then, there was the guy in Scotland who did what's his name? Oh my God!
Oh,
he did like one of the showish.
He did some amazing remixes.
Yeah, he did, and I'm gonna like commit ritual suicide if I can't remember his name.
We'll edit that in later.
Oh my God, I can't remember his name. Alzheimer's strikes early. It'll come to me. Sabo.
Sabo. Yeah,
there he goes. Yeah, thank you. Wow. And Tack as well. I mean, a lot of guys are starting to do that now.
Years, many, many.
You know, and it, whenever I hear it, even when I heard the new intro for the Terminator movies, which was, I'm sorry, I think a direct ripoff of my Afternow stuff, but that's okay. If it was, you know, I think that's, I would count myself really successful, because if that's the case, and I would be so flattered by that. You know, if I got a phone call from somebody saying, amazing. Yeah, man, yeah, we listened to your stuff, we liked it, so we totally ripped it off. And I was like, oh, that's pimp, you know, because if you listen to the first ones that were, like, out on the air, it was pretty close. Like, some of the, even the same phrases and stuff, it was
the
like...
The first teaser trailer where it's cutting in and there's static, and it's cutting in and out, and the guy's talking in a monotone, it's straight out Afternow.
And I'm sort of like, you know, in the theater watching this going, what... having a panic attack, because I'm like, I wrote this. You know, it was kind of weird. But and then luckily it was a Terminator movie, because I was just sort of, you know, kind of freaked out.
At least they ripped it off for a good movie.
Right. Right, which is true. Which is true. Now, in another good movie, good segue here, is Gattaca. Did you ever see Gattaca? You've seen Gattaca. You saw it with me. You must have. Element
many, many times I own it. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, check this out.
Along with the wife, she loves the DNA stuff.
So. Right. Well, it's real. Okay, Element C sent me the story. Australians have been refused insurance protection because of their genetic makeup. Researchers have shown in the first study in the world to provide proof of genetic discrimination. This is the first case of genetic discrimination found. Most cases were found to relate to life insurance. In one instance, a man with a faulty gene linked to a greater risk of breast and prostate cancer was denied income protection and trauma insurance that would have let him claim if he developed other forms of cancer. The findings have led to renewed calls by experts for policies to ensure appropriate use of genetic tests resulted by from the insurance industry. So good luck with that. The director of the Center for Genetics Education at Royalty North Shore Hospital, Christian Barlow-Stewart, said the research also showed consumers need to be better informed about their rights. 85% of the people in the study didn't know where to go to seek assistance if they've been discriminated against, which is true. Like, I don't know where the hell you'd go for that. Like, where the hell would you go for that?
Yeah.
You know, seriously.
Such an emerging technology.
Check out these numbers here. For life insurance, there was 42% of people were discriminated against because of their life insurance. Like, these are the numbers here. Family contacts, 22%. Health services, 20%. Social life, 11%. Employment, 5%. And I guess, like, unbelievable that is happening. But, of course, you know, this is what happens when you let your data just run around out there, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know what? These insurance companies might force the issue. It's like, well, you can't insure yourself unless you go through genetic screening. And then there's a problem there, because then it's a slippery slope to people not having babies unless it's been a genetically screened baby. It's like, okay, well, what's his chance of a heart attack? And, he won't get insurance, you know?
And I'm sorry, we can't have, you know, if your baby was not born in a hospital, then it's going to all of a sudden become quarantined, right? And then because your child is defective because it's a God-born child. Right, which means
a god baby. What is? I think that's what they called it, right?
Yeah, a god baby or a godborn or something like that. But yeah. It was just like, you know, and oh my goodness. Which, incidentally, speaking of godborn, just to spin off for a second there. I was watching. I watched that that movie with the guy from Ferris Bueller, Expelled, with the dude from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What's his name? The economist guy. Which was a weird movie. Really weird movie.
I heard it was a pile of crap.
Yeah, you know, all those movies are piles of crap. But
Ben Stein.
Ben Stein, you know. But it was a weird, weird movie. It was kind of funny. I enjoyed it. You know, it was good to sit back and have a few yucks. They got him in there with Dawkins, right? Richard Dawkins. Is that his name?
Yep.
He ripped him a new asshole right on the film, and he kept it in his own movie, which is weird that you'd have, you know, your own ass getting kicked by a guy in your movie. That's a really weird...
I don't think you could put Richard Dawkins in your movie without getting your ass kicked anyway.
Unless you were on his side.
In any form.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you were on his side, because that one guy called him a reptile in the movie, which I thought was funny. He was this weird philosopher dude. He's kind of a reptile, which I thought was such a fantastic... Because the dude's some, like, mega brain, right, from over there. Who's like, you know, I'm okay with the idea of intelligent design, which is kind of funny, because I like the whole directed panspermia thing. I didn't even know it was called directed panspermia. You know, but the whole, like,
neither
alien, like...
Until you told me, yeah.
Which is kind of like something happened,
Earth was,
you know? That
some seed, some initial...
Well, Call of Cthulhu is technically, Cthulhu is directed panspermia. Okay?
Bro.
I'm just saying, he is. Because, I mean, by default, you know, if you go with the ID thing, you can have Cthulhu, which I'm thinking that's pretty dope. You know, anything that makes Cthulhu a scientific possibility, I'm like, hell yeah! You know, that'd be awesome. But
you think Cthulhu put a seed on Earth?
I think there might be some alien action going on, outworld entity of some type. Be that dimensional, be that spatial. I think that, yeah, there's something. It's kind of strange. There's only one animal that's evolved to the state
Earth
that we
an
have.
Alien,
you know?
Terraforming.
Pardon me.
Earth is an alien terraform project.
Sure, something like that. You know, yeah. I'm not opposed to that. There's that guy. I haven't read any of his stuff. A lot of people really dig it. Zachariah Sitchin, and he wrote a bunch of books about this stuff. That he's pretty well researched. A lot of people think he's a wingnut. The dude to talk to is almost unbearable. He's a lot like me. And nobody can work with him because he's kind of like this crazy egomaniac cat that he's right and screw you if you think otherwise. Fun dude, but like the whole UFO, you know, kind of crowd, they've got a lot of that sort of stuff going on there. Some of their stuff's pretty good. You know, I mean, some of these guys are serious, and some, like, there's that one, the thing that gets me, and this is, you want to talk hard science, you know, it's easy to throw rocks at the Christians. I mean, everybody throws rocks at Christians. They made a sport out of it called stoning. You know, it's not hard. But when you get the guys who write for military magazines and stuff like that, like Jane's, right, which is a military review, this is read by the Pentagon. I mean, these guys aren't spiritual on any level. And they start chasing after things like anti-gravity, and they get stonewalled by the government, where they say, yeah, you're not allowed to talk about this. A guy who wrote for Jane's wrote a book on it called The Hunt for Zero Point. And there's a book. You want to talk about, like, and he doesn't claim that there is anti-grav. He just tells a story up to the point where the government said, yeah, you're to stop asking questions now.
And, well, it's a good way to sell books is to say the government tells you can't talk about it any further than you have in the book.
It's true, but you've never heard of this book. And the book's been out for a long time. Okay, to be fair. And you know, I don't like going looking for actual answers, and I got some guy talking to me about auras and, you know, Atlantis, you know.
Oh,
I'm looking
I discovered aliens and I know where they are, but I can't tell you because the government told me not to tell you.
Those cats there's not very many of those guys. Like, you'd be surprised if you go take a look at some of the UFO. There's always the weirdos, right? You always get some weirdos but some of them are pretty good. And hey, if nothing else, they're like Alex Jones, you know. They do justify buying yet another rifle. And here's a good one. Here's a good story for the justification of buying another rifle in brain scanning news. Okay, now I've been covering brain scanning news for a bit. This is how people were getting to get to where we can read your mind, right? Okay. Scientists a step closer to reading your minds. Now check this out. This is a real development. A machine to read the mind came a step closer on Thursday when scientists at the University College of London released the results of an experiment in which brain scans revealed the location of people moving around in a virtual reality environment. So, in the game, you're moving around a virtual reality environment. I scan your brain and tell you what room you're standing in while you're playing the game. Your perceived room that you're standing in. Okay? That's a lot of voodoo going on there. That isn't turning a light on or off. That's like spatial awareness. That's like what you're dreaming about. That's reading minds. Demis Habas, co-author of the study, said it was a small step towards the idea of mind reading. He seems excited about this. Just by looking at the neural activity, we're able to say what someone was thinking. And then lightning crash. The experiment, published in the Journal of Current Biology, is significant for neuroscience as it shows for the first time that supervillains can get funding. That memories are laid down in specific structures or patterns in the hippocampus, a brain region that is crucial for navigation, memory recall, and imagining future events. Wow. So, so that's...
I've seen some stuff on TV about this, and right now I think it takes a lot of setup. I think they have to go into these virtual reality rooms and then map what it looks like in their brain while they're in that virtual reality room, take them to the next one, look what it looks like, and then,
sure, it's
then
involved.
They can tell.
Buddy ends the article...
it's very involved at this point. Yeah.
No, Buddy ends the article by saying it would be at least 10 years, and probably much longer, before the technique could be used for forensic investigations. But the thing is, we're talking within the last 2 years, we've gone from beep you know, Colonel Pike there with his amazing strobing LED, you know, to, you know, being able to do that. Like, okay, yeah, it's an involved process, and yeah, you gotta make it happen. But that's that's pretty hot. You know,
it's always baby steps. It's one step after another, and this is, you know, this is a big leap.
It is.
They're mapping the mind.
It's a huge leap, and I think that I don't know how I feel about it, to be really honest with you, because it seems
they don't care how you feel. They don't care how I feel either. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. And it's gonna happen. But
it sucks.
You know, it sucks. And, you know, are we going to wind up having? Am I going to have intellectual property for my dreams? Like, are we going to subscribe our dreams?
Yeah.
And we'll just sell them online, and you know that way the Nielsen ratings will sell our dreams to Paramount. And they'll sell our dreams back to us for $35 a head at the local Cinemax until we can afford to buy it on Blu-ray, or maybe if it's been stepped on 9 or 10 times, we might get some.
Well, they're
going to
check if you watched a movie at my house because you didn't pay for that movie. Like, you didn't buy your own license to watch that movie, and they're going to brain scan you and see if you watched that movie, and
right.
then automatically charge you.
Right, because they've already run the movie through someone's brain. They may pay someone to watch it. They record the synapses that are put in there. And which brings us right to, and if you think that's crazy, let's cross the brain scanning with the next story called Kill Your TV News. Now, I didn't know about this. Okay, this is some crazy tinfoil hat shit right here, all right? The technology called fMRI, functional magnetic resonance, is an old and archaic, actually. Mengele and others were reading brainwaves via magnetic resonance graphing in the early 70s. Boston local airport is already using new lightwave beams to scan and read air travelers' intentions before they board the plane. So this is already deployed. The German individual Stahl interviewed was very hesitant to reveal exactly who had the mind-reading technology today. Again, it just looks like U.S. patents issued in the last decade to realize the height and breadth of mind control explosion. And keep in mind, the patents are usually applied for after the technology has been proven to be commercially viable via working models. So there's people patenting all kinds of mind control stuff. And the guys who watch the patents at the office are going, whoa, hey, somebody's building this stuff, and they're not talking about it. The fMRI computer that reads the mind is just one side of the coin. It's much, much easier to produce emotions and impulses into the brain than actually read the brain via computer programs, which I would buy that in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? I mean,
we're
electromagnetic, no problem. This technology needs much more bandwidth spaces than currently provided by analog signals, and in order to be implemented, thus the need to switch to digital signals exclusively. This technology in the wrong hands is a bigger threat to individual freedom than any standing army. Is Homeland Security in the wrong hands? Was this the beginning?
Where did you get this story?
What's that?
Where did you get this story? This is written sensationalistically.
I know. It's fantastic. It's a great story. It's a great story. But he's got the patent number here. Here's the patent. Okay. The nervous system manipulation by electromagnetic fields from monitors. This is a patent. Okay. Here's the patent number.
Okay.
Physiological effects have been observed in human subjects in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic fields that are pulsed with certain extra frequencies near the half hertz or 2.4 hertz, such as to excite sensory resonance. So basically, they're hitting you with these rays, right?
This reminds me of something.
What? I'm just saying.
Max Headroom.
What?
Where they killed people using their television.
With the blipverts. You're talking about the zigzag.
Yeah, the blipverts. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No,
it's exactly the same.
It is not exactly the same. It's totally different. The blipverts killed people. These guys aren't killing anybody. These things are what are actually talking about inducing trance-like states. Many computer monitors and HDTV screens, when displaying pulsed images, emit pulsed electromagnetic fields of sufficient amplitude to cause such excitation. It's therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or digital TV set. For the latter, the image pulsing may be embedded in the program material or may be overlaid by modulating a video stream either as an RF signal or a video signal. Now, if this is possible, right?
This is exactly blipverts. In the TV show, the blipverts went wrong. They weren't actually trying to kill people. They were trying to get people excited to buy things.
Paradise here. Well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I mean, they were just intending to have people to buy things and it wound up exploding them, and that's not what I'm saying this is going to be doing. What I'm saying is, run for the hills. It's the tinfoil hat crowd, is what I'm saying. I'm thinking that they're going to use this as mind control. Now, if there's anything to this, though, if mind control is possible, don't you think that they would try to use it? You know?
Of course.
So
the first people in line I know that are going to use it are the people that are going to try and sell you stuff.
Oh, yeah, well,
the
shopping malls.
Control experts.
Oh,
yeah, they'll blast RF into your mind while you're walking down the halls.
Oh, they're already doing it.
Looking at electronics.
Already doing it with targeted audio where they make, like, the whispers appear in your head, like, watch the show. I ran a story on that, like, I think it was almost last year, okay, where they're like, you know, you're walking by and it says, hey, I'm over here, and it's this new Supernatural show, you know, that I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Holy inducing schizophrenic state for 1,000, Alex.
Which brings everybody back to the patrolling episodes, of course.
Oh, of course, which, you know, called
the
it.
Hats, the eye, you know, the earphones, the eye protection,
I
all that.
Fucking
all
called that. It. Called it. Thank you.
You look like a crazy man walking down the street, but you're protected.
Yeah, you know, well, fuck them. Fuck you know. No, the truth is, though, is that you have to somehow master that. That's something that has to be done. Is you got to blend in. You know, you do have to blend in because, you know, the nail that sticks up kind of gets hammered down. You want to kind of, you know, keep a low profile. Always good. Now, I'm really happy because RU486 sent me this story. Now, this is probably every now and again. You ever get those stories that you really connect with online? Like the ones you read?
Oh.
And it just... you know, you're there. You know? And this is me. It's about Santino. And Santino was planning rock attacks against the zoo visitors because Santino is in angry monkey news. Santino... let me read this. This is poetry here. This is from March 10th, 2009. Sorry, okay, I gotta get through this. I can do this. Researchers say a chimpanzee at the Swedish zoo has proven that apes are as capable of forward-thinking planning as humans. Zoo minders have uncovered hundreds of stone caches being used by the chimp to hoard ammunition to hurl at visitors. The chimp at the center of the study is an alpha male in his 30s called Santino. Santino lives at Fervorek Zoo in the north of Stockholm. His war against the visiting public began in the 1990s when he got into the habit of collecting stones from the moat surrounding his artificial island. Santino would stack these up in the morning and then wait for visiting time when the bombardment would begin. However, the chimp was not only capable of this unusual example of forward planning, he also managed to break lumps of concrete into manageable-sized missiles by checking them for weak points. Matthias Osvarsch of the Lund University researchers say, Santino! Ah! Wah, wah, wah. His behavior shows convincingly that our fellow apes consider the future in a very complex way. Mr. Ovar says the monkey was, without exception, calm when gathering or manufacturing his ammunition. Yeah, he was like, your action is smooth and clean, Rock, so that when I hurl you, you will fly straight at two into the forehead of my enemy. In contrast to the typically aroused trait during the display, Santino's just sitting there, you know, he's gritting his teeth, man, and he's like sharpening the stone, man. He's like, they took away my family. You know, and Santino's wog as fuck, man. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's
this,
rubbing the
you know,
box, going, oh, yeah. I can't wait.
It implies that they might have a highly developed consciousness, including life-life mental stimulations of potential events, he said. They most probably even have an inner world, like when we were reviewing past episodes of our lives. Now, I love this. I love this. This is the best story in weeks, you know? Because you got to give it to my man Santino there. You really do. I mean, you know, how would you like... be in some shitty little room, you know, big glass wall, and these naked, you know, hairless pricks keep parading in front of you, you know, and they're like, oh, there he is, he moved, he looked at me, you know, monkey, 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 You know, I'd be in there for 30, 35 minutes, and I'm pretty sure I'd start kicking fellow people in. Like, I wouldn't be able to be a human looking at the monkey watching humans. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that. You know, never mind. So we need to bust Santino out of there, man. Like, he's going to get out.
He's had enough.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm hoping he gets out. I really am. You know, some people are like, but Sean, he's a monkey. It would never work. It's a crazy mixed up world we live in. No, seriously, I don't care. I think Santino should be free, you know, and I think he will gain his freedom. And we're going to, you know, have another. I hope to hear about Santino in the future where, you know, chimpanzee escapes in London at large, you know, making his way to Scotland, you know.
Sitting on the rooftops, throwing rocks down at people in their cars.
Yeah, he lost himself in a crowd of fishermen who they couldn't tell the difference between Santino and... okay, now that's not very nice. That's not very nice. Some of those hardworking coastal people, you know, they have a little bit of facial hair, and they are abnormally strong, you know, and they can... A lot of them can pull your arms off, you know, which could be... You know, because some of the... Seriously... Like, coastal Irish and, like, English and Scottish fishermen, that's not, like, you know, it's not tropical.
Yeah, 20 or 30 years of pulling in nets, your arms get a little bit tough.
Yeah, you know, those guys are, like, leathery-eyed. Ah, shark in the water, chimpanzee, you know, maybe a chimp, but he can pull the ropes in, no trouble, you know. I mean, those guys, you know, they'd give the chimp
a break. He's been a good chimp.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, exactly. They're made
of. He drinks us all under the table.
All the people are made of rock and beard. That's what they're created out of. They're just like chiseled stone and beard. And they're just harder than Chinese math, the whole lot of them. Today's daily hack. Now, this is very cool. This is was sent to me by Ad Nauseam, which is a great online name. Did I give him that? I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think I did. I think that's too clever for me.
I don't think so.
That.
Yeah.
But the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, has created this surveillance self-defense site. Now, this isn't like Johnny Nobody's, you know, crazy tinfoil hat, you know, site. This is the EFF's surveillance self-defense site to educate the American public about the law and technology of government surveillance in the United States, providing the information and the tools necessary to evaluate the threat of surveillance, take appropriate steps to defend against it. Surveillance self-defense exists to answer two main questions. What can the government legally do to spy on computer data and communications? And what can you do legally to protect yourself against such spying? So,
very good information.
Very good information is a daily hack. Please go there and do that now. And as well, you know, because I'm just going to stoke my ego up a little bit here. That's why, you know, I'm big on the writing and the after now. Is I got a TED Talk that was sent to me talking about how the wasteland cities that I talk about in after now are now coming into existence, essentially. All over the world, and you know where that's all going. So, you know, if you want to have a good evening that, you can watch this, and you know, throw in a Road Warrior episode. And well, actually, there's no road. There's only one Road Warrior, and and that movie really is a standalone on its own because I mean, it was a remake. It was actually Mad Max 2, but you know, it's so infinitely better than the first one that.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, wow, they got a budget from the first one and they invested every cent into like, what if we spent it all on just stunt drivers? You know, that's pretty much what it was.
Oh, and we'd have a movie then.
Yeah, and pretty much like you know, the guy who was the casting director was probably that dude from that bad 1980s TV show, The Highwayman, Brian Bosworth. No, not Brian Bosworth. He was a Kiwi rugby player with dyed blonde hair. He did Energizer commercials for a while.
Oh,
he was like trying to be the white Mr. T.
yes, I remember, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
You know, give me a break, give me a brew. That guy, he was awesome. But he was like, he must have been seriously, you know, doing the casting direction for that movie because like everybody in that movie is just it's so super tremendously badass, you know. It's
oh yeah, the casting in that is so amazing, so hilarious, the characters in there.
So anyway, now under Cyberpunk Kate, you found this today. How did you find this sexy? Because there's few things, you know, I don't get stimulated much anymore, you know. I'm kind of old and withered. And, you know, people go by, look, Sean, a Mueller Sky Car again, and I'm like, you know, and
like, get out of here, bleh.
Take your mother's gag, I'll be gone with you, you suck, you know, and this is, you know, this is not vaporware, this is something you can buy right now. right? Like, this is available currently. So how did you find out about this?
I've got a couple tech blogs that I browse through every couple days, and it was just posted in one of them. I was like, for sure, Sean's seen this.
Which one?
For sure.
Do you remember which one?
Electronista.
Oh, okay. No, give them props. I mean, if you saw it there, fuck yeah,
I think it's that one. I'm pretty sure it's that one.
Electronista. If it wasn't that one, it was one just like that one, because they all, you know, they all prey on each other
exactly.
Pretty quick, and they all like, hey, I got this from the other crazy 30-second-old blog that, like, you know, the guy's unpacking it at the convention, and they've got, you know, 360-degree scan rotations of them. So what
crazy.
These are, this is a head-mounted display, right, which we've been waiting for since the internet came out, essentially. We're like, yeah, next step, head-mounted display. And it's been really sad. We've been waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it, and it hasn't showed up. But you found this one. And, they look like ass, you know? They look like ass.
They're not too bad.
Well, they're not too bad, but they have 640 by 480, which I think is the highest res that you can get. And they have 3D head tracking, okay?
Yes.
And you can get up to 1024 by 768 out of it in video format, okay? So, and now the sweet spot is, here's, like, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, another, well, out there.
How much is it? 5,000, 4,000?
No, this is
$400
U.S.
Yep.
For this piece of tech. And I'm like, whoa. That got affordable.
Price point.
That is a sweet price point. Now, their molar that they're talking about, the thing that's like, yeah, this is our molar, this is coming in the fall of 2009, is their wraparound 920 AV, the world's first class video eyewear that takes the standard form of a pair of fashionable sunglasses with revolutionary see-through quantum optics technology that doesn't block out the world around you. This is a heads-up display. They have HUD mirror shade display. It's a sexy picture of it. They're called the Wrap 920 AV. And
that one's not as good, actually. That one doesn't have as high resolution, actually. That's only an S video input.
What part of look-through technology did you... That's a HUD, dude. Like, I don't give a fuck what the video in is. I could care less. Like, really. I mean, you know, that's all you got to do, put those glasses on, light your back on fire, you're ready to punch out a windshield. You know, you can run your red LED over top. You know, you're doing good. You can chase people down alleyways and punch out windshields. That's the job, you know, with a katana or an Uzi. 8mm long slide. 9mm. Ooh, wow. 9mm long slide. No, it's a 45 long slide, actually, is I think what he used in the film. Do you even know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody get the reference? Well, it's the first Terminator. Thank you. Nobody has any clue. I'm just the rambling idiot in the corner who lost his
Their
place.
Their sexy one is the TacEye LT, but that's $5,000.
Yeah,
that one
you can mount
on three different models of bulletproof eyewear.
Right. I don't really understand why that one's so much more. It's kind of annoying, actually. and it was the 45 long slide hero. You're absolutely right. It's bizarre that they would make that one so much less, but I suppose...
I know.
Whatever.
Ten times as much and for a little bit more res. I don't know. Maybe it's military grade, though. That's why.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
shockproof, vibration-proof, waterproof, dust-proof, drop-proof, temperature.
Well, it's made of all the mil-spec components, right? And in order to buy mil-spec electronics, they have to, like, they charge you up the wazoo for them. Because in order
able to run over with a car, right?
Yeah. The thing is they could probably make them, like, arguably almost as strong and not have the mil-spec designation and just make it, like, WOG-approved or something like that. And we should set up, like, a... But I'm so happy about that. I'm probably actually going to pick a set of these up. You know,
these are sexy. So nice.
Yeah, they're pretty. They're pretty sweet. And thank you, server. Is there anything you will not give us, Almighty One? wonderful. You know, the flying cars. You know, they are coming. I still like that flying dune buggy from a couple weeks ago. That one was it's basically a paraglide. It's a parachute dune buggy.
That's a James Bond vehicle.
It's a WOG vehicle all the way, man. It's brilliant. The engine fails, you just drift down out of the sky on your parachute, whee, hit the ground, and you got your Chenoweth fast attack vehicle on the go. I mean, that is made of wind and dipped in awesome, you know, any way you cut that. And I'm surprised that's not receiving more play, probably because it's, you know, people don't actually want flying cars. That's not really what they what they need. And that's pretty much all I got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This is a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website and subscribe. Throw about $5 a month in. That would be great. If you want to get in touch with us via snail mail, you can go Box 181-21-1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Now, we're going to get... This is where we're now going to be putting the C-section of the show, because we got some stuff that's coming out. But I did want to just, you know... make a mention of we got the Rant Media Pain Magazine Volume 18 is now out and online for free. Please come get it. Pain Volume 18 is online, so they can get it there. They can download it. Or how's that distributed? So
yeah, they can get it for free. This is the one that was at the 10th anniversary. So this is the nice sexy one. Yeah.
Oh, good. Finally. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, not finally. I mean, you know. Well, I suppose it's January, February, March.
It is final, you know, you 3 months later. But I mean,
they're cheap. You know, we don't pay them much.
Cheap is free.
So, and people are like, "Well, why is it taking so long?" Because these people are doing it out of the love in their hearts, and the internet destroys the love in everyone. It's just the truth. And I got this. I got this email here. Dear Sean and Sim, which I thought was a pretty ballsy email. I would just like to start out by saying I love your work. You know, it's always bad when they start with that. I just want to say that we love you.
Yeah.
We love you very much. Oh, no. We love you very much. And your father and I only want what's best for you. But in the last 3 or 4 weeks, Newsreel has slipped down a path that many people give the show on a weekly basis are not... In the last 3 or 4 weeks, Newsreel has slipped down a path that I and the people I give the show to on a weekly basis are not happy with. I understand the need for money to keep Rant going is getting stronger, but now it feels like a 30 minutes of our stuff infomercial. So when I ask you to cover more news and less trying to flog things. You know, so to be fair, I didn't like it that much either. You know, I really don't. I hate, everyone who listens to us knows we hate selling our shit. We do. I hate it. Yeah. I don't think, Sim, you're better at it because... You know, I could sell snow to Eskimos, but don't ask me to sell my stuff. I just, oh, God, I hate it. But, you know.
We're still, you know, we're tweaking the show, making it better.
Yeah.
Improving it, you know, so.
You know. And, you know, so what we're going to do is at the end of the show, we're going to put it at the end here so that, you know, you don't have to sit through the show and feel like, you know, you're responding to a telethon every time you're trying to watch your show. This is, you know, going to get better and better. And I don't want to shill our new stuff too much. So just as an apology, sorry if we've been dicks about the whole thing. We're still trying to figure this whole thing out, get ourselves up so we don't get sued. You know, you figure we'd get all this sorted out by now. You know, it's been 10 years. What, are we stupid?
It's an ongoing process.
Well, you know, how many buzzwords can we get? Well, you know, our metrics are, you know, kind of off. You know, we need to, you know, make it happen. Now, everybody in Second Life is talking about Tackcraft, and I guess he's actually Patient Zero, and his music.
Okay, I didn't know his other name, actually.
Yeah, is Tackcraft in Second Life is the Patient Zero.
Yeah, I love these people who have 5,000 different names, one for each application.
It's hard.
So happy.
It's hard because, you know, no, I'm all for it. You know, I am and forever will be forever known. Like, I can never hide. I can never be obfuscated.
No.
Like, if I were to use my voice on a cartoon character in some shitty little series somewhere, you know, somebody would be like, it's Sean! Let's find him! And then the assassins would come for me, right? You know, that'd be the end of it. So, you know, in the meantime, because that's what we live with. So these guys have got, like, 50 billion different names. That's cool. And, you know, I enjoy... people who are making music, you know, maybe some of the stuff wouldn't get
great. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I mean, they haven't got sound engineers. These guys are doing it all in their basement and all on their own. And this is where you are learning. This is where you're like you're honing your skills.
That's where it starts.
It pisses me off because sometimes people listen to music and somebody will have like an album they came out with, you know, and they'll be like, "Yeah, this album's way better than your last album," but you know, I don't know. It's like, shut up, fool! You're watching some guy in a gladiatorial pit here, and he's going through the discipline and he's improving on himself, while you pudgy fucker, stand off to the side and don't do a single thing. You don't step in the ring. You never put anything out at all, ever. You know, you're never a target, but this guy is out there. He's trying. He's composing. He's releasing it. Some people are digging his shit. Some people aren't digging his shit, but they're saying they are because they see raw talent. And they understand what raw talent is. And that's you know, and to have people with the kind of raw talent who just even give a shit about the show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like Tackcraft and Patient Zero and all these guys, Sabo, Attack and Patient are the same guys. But there's a lot of people out there who are mixing this stuff down, and they're, and like these rip artists who are just rehashing. And if somebody thought that my stuff was valuable enough that they could build something good from it, you know, because yeah. The other day somebody asked me an email, you know, they said, Sean, do you mind if I write After Now stories? And I thought, you know, no, dude, I don't mind if you write. It's not like I don't own science fiction. You know, you can write vampire stories. You know, it's ridiculous, but I know that people ask me that out of respect. You know, they yeah, ask me that yeah. because, you know, if I was going to write an H.P. Lovecraft story and Lovecraft's still alive, he fucking well writes, I'm going to write him a letter saying, sir, I would like to write a story. if you could read it when they're good, when it's done, if you like, you can, and I'd like your opinion of it. You know, that kind of a thing. And you respect them and you approach them from a position of respect. You know, and, mm-hmm. and that's a... To have somebody ask me that, I don't get mad at them and go, well, you're an idiot. Why would you ask me that? Of course not. I mean, it's a huge sign of respect to do that. And I treat it with the kind of reverence that it should be treated, really. I mean, it's touching. I keep the emails. So mm-hmm. it's nice that people ask. But, I mean, it's designed to, you know, stimulate media. You know, anybody could make a Road Warrior film, and why not? You know, I'm sure we're going to have to do... We haven't done anything post-apocalyptic. We could do a great post-apocalyptic film. I mean, they're low budget.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can do a lot with them.
Throw some dirt on yourself, dust on yourself, wear some, you know, some gear from football gear, and you go
and
out to the desert.
Away you go, yeah, and you beat each other up with shovel handles, you know. great, there's some great... you want to talk about the best prop store for post-apocalyptic movies has got to be the Cold Steel Lyle Thompson Special Division, where he makes like Zulu spears and stuff that fit on shovel handles that are actually like
oh really
oh yeah no he's got crazy like Lyle Thompson is a totally insane dude. He goes down to Africa and just shoots everything he sees on these safaris and sells knives that are like folding kukris. I mean, he's completely insane, right? He's like who you don't want to leave your children alone with, because they're going to come back, you know, feeding on, you know, week old barbarian, you know, baboon carcass with you know, hardcore African tattoos. Like, he's totally insane. Love him. Makes nice knives. So, you know. But yeah, the Special Projects Division is like an After Now movie just waiting to happen. You know, really.
Wow.
I think. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for assassinating. Oh, my God, it's the Secret Service. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up to the Rant newsletter so that we can pimp our stuff to you constantly, and you are in the in. You're part of Team Cool Guy if you send an email to info@rantradio.com. And that goes direct to Sim. It's like a phone call to Jesus. That's like Jesus with an R on the end of it. It's G-E-S-U-S-A-H. We should get you that as an email address.
Jesus.
Now, of course, we got some psytrance in the background, and you found this one, Sim, this Babylon band, Culty Man Through You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Is it?
This is a guy that it's kind of one of those mixes where he takes samples, like we were talking today in Newsreel.
Right.
And he mashes them all together, and these are all samples from YouTube videos, and takes drums from one, a keyboard from another, and this is amazing, so... Cute Man, definitely look him up on YouTube and find this one. This one's awesome. Like, the videos are impressive. Like,
yeah.
He uses the video footage, too.
Well,
so,
I've always had a...
Awesome.
I've always... Ever since I went to my first, and really my only rave, that was my first exposure to that kind of magic that exists, that strange in-between world that is that kind of techno culture. And mm-hmm. for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about... I can't explain it to you, but sometimes it's like, sometimes I wish we could make that as a film, you know, where you'd like be in this rave and you're walking through the fog and all of a sudden you're like in some weird tripped out version of Narnia And maybe it's all in your head, and maybe you're all having the same hallucination, but I'm here to tell you, like, that's worth a short story out of me. Well, no problem. You know, seriously.
Well, the scene in Blade captures a bit of that kind of trance.
Oh, that is probably one of the greatest sequences in vampire movie history. Really? Oh yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. It's carnal. The vampires are not pussies. You know, everybody's pretty badass. You know, not as badass. Yeah, they're not as badass as Blade is, who confidently walks into a room full of blood-soaked vampires, draws a circle on the ground, gets all Buddy from Seattle there down in the meat locker with the katana, you know what I'm saying? And he just goes amazing badass times 1,000, you know, with the best flat top ever put on film, you know, rivaled closely to the Soldier flat top, which is a pretty good flat top.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, no one even steps into the Mohawk or the Iroquois cut because Mr. T owns that. That contest is over. Nobody can do it anymore.
No,
you know, it's
forever
just...
Forever and ever.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, the infamous Mr. T. Have you read his bio on Wikipedia, by the way?
No, I haven't. I should go do that.
You should do that. You know how he got all the gold chains? This is awesome, because I found out he was ex-military. He was a bouncer for a whole long time, and he started getting into Hollywood. No shit. You read it, I'm like, oh, my God. And what he used to do was he would take, in fights, of course, all your jewelry comes off, so he would take the jewelry he found on the bar floor and would wear it so that when the guy, and all they had to do was come up and take it back from him. And that's how he wound up with huge necklace chains. That was all shit he tore off of people when he beat the Jesus out of them, throwing them out of the bar.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's funny. That's like his trophies, his war trophies.
I so dig that guy now. Like, I was 12 when I wrote him a letter, you know, and I got the big, you know, love Jesus letter back. It was basically, hi, it's Mr. T. Love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus, for like a whole page. But, you know, and I got my photocopied, you know, lithographed Polaroid with his photography, with his stamped signature on it. And it made me really happy. You know, I cried.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. You know, the A-Team was the shit back then. You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot going on for the WOG kids at that time. You know, there wasn't a lot happening. So, you know, you had to take what you could get. And at the time, you know, Man from U.N.C.L.E. wasn't on anymore. You know, you didn't have much Avengers. You couldn't get The Prisoner. You know, V. Yeah, maybe V. V was good, but Ham from V. Most WOG guy in the whole series. You ever watch V. Ham? I think his name's actually Ironside. Is it Jeremy Ironside? No, it's Michael Ironside. He does a lot of video games now. He was in Scanners. If you want to look up Scanners, he was the evil Scanner guy in Scanners. And he played Ham in V. And he was just, I guess, the aliens showed up and they ate his wife and kids. And so...
Oh, yeah.
So he plays,
that's a bad day.
So he plays, like, total, like, I am... He's just seething hate from every pore. Like, he's got the black leather. Like, you just... He's like, wow, Jack Bauer would tell him to slow down.
Oh,
you know, he's
that guy, Michael Ironside.
Ironside, yeah. That's his name, yeah.
He's like the badass cop or the badass guy.
And in Ham, he's a war criminal.
He's in Terminator. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, is he in the new one?
He's in the new Terminator, yep.
Oh, I wonder if he's going to play a Terminator. That'd be dope. Oh, why'd you tell me that? Told everybody that now. We got a spoiler. We got a spoiler. You put a spoiler in the show. I can't believe you did that. Holy crap. We don't know what he does.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
No, I won't tell you that.
Okay.
He's a bit part. You don't even see him. Yeah.
Okay. He's not there. He's not there. All right.
No, he doesn't
exist. So before you like just, you know, totally give away the farm, I'm gonna wrap up the show. I mean, unless you want to, you know, release anything else you want to, you know, anything else you want to let out of the bag.
No, it's all good.
You're all good? Okay. Well, remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.